Welcome to a new series of Banter, the panel game where we try to establish what's hot and what's not. I'm Andrew Collins, and joining me to hammer out top threes in categories covering anything from Paris Hilton to John Milton are Richard Herring.
Hello.
Russell Howard.
Hello.
Lucy Porter.
Hello.
And Arthur Smith.
Yeah, right.
Okay, before the show, each of our panellists was given a different category. They were asked to write down their top three for that category and to put their answer into a noisy envelope. Between the rest of us, we'll be trying to come up with top threes for each of these four categories, one by one, with points scored for good suggestions, good objections, and for naming any of my personal favourites, at which you'll hear this. And to anyone who thinks this job's easy, try walking a mile in my shoes. In fact, walk half a mile, then walk half a mile back, because I might need those shoes to get home. So, let us put aside childish things and call Bagsies on our first top three. Our first category is your top three classical composers. Now, in each round, whoever filled in the envelope for that category sits out the chat. In this case, that's Lucy Porter. So if you sit this one out, please, Lucy.
OK.
Thank you very much. Richard Herring, would you like to start us off, please? You're the most Radio 4 amongst us, apart from Arthur.
Second most. Good. I like two, Brahms and Liszt. I like, they're my favourite, only because of the Cockney rhyming slang, which I think it's fair enough on Liszt, because that's, you know, his name rhymes with the offending word. It's a bit unfair on Brahms, who's got nothing to do with Liszt. Why have they checked? Could be Bach and Liszt.
Yeah.
Could be Rimsky-Korsakov and this, although that would be...
Yeah, but I'd Brahms say. Really was a drunk. Yeah.
Was he?
I don't know.
No. I like John Cage, who I would call a classical composer, and particularly his work, 4 Minutes 33 Seconds, which is nothing. This is a true story. It's a 4 Minutes 33 Seconds of no sound at all.
Do they have anything, like, when it finishes, to tell you that it's finished? Is what, it somebody going, ah?
I think they sit there and you're meant to listen to the sounds.
But didn't he sue someone?
Yeah, Mike
someone
Batt.
Someone else had also done a silence. Yes.
Mike Batt foolishly, on one of his albums, Mike Batt did a minute of silence and then credited it to Bat Cage.
But that's because his dog died.
To Bat Cage?
Yeah. And then the Cage estate sued him for thousands of dollars. So it rebounded. That little joke rebounded on him.
Did they do the two works in court?
Russell Howard, how do you feel about classical music?
I quite like the theme tune from The Goonies.
Is that John Williams?
I don't know who it is, but it gets me going.
Sing it. That's
enough.
Well, now listen, I was going to give 2 points to the first person to sing a bit of classical music, and you are it.
Oh, great.
Unless you count the pause that Richard did between telling us about something and then the next line, but I don't think we should.
Well, Lucy's doing it throughout the entire round, isn't she?
Yeah, this is conceptual. I'll give a conceptual point to Lucy, even though she's not doing anything, and I'll give 2 points to Russell. Even though he just touched my bell.
I like a bloke called Jan Tiersen, who did the music from Amelie, but I had a bit of an incident because I really like my flatmate John, and he works very hard, so I thought I'd make him some dinner, and I thought I'd put like classical music behind it, and it's very difficult to eat food to classical music without it becoming really homoerotic. So, do you know what I mean? It's kind of dun, 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 whilst eating potatoes. It was pretty sexy. It's Gustav Holst, isn't it? The guy that did the planets.
He did the planets.
I quite like
yeah.
that. I used to listen to that when I was delivering papers. Who's that guy with the telegraph? You know who it is, Mrs. Phillips. Bam, bam.
To me, Russ, it looks to me like you still do deliver. But then actually, so does everyone.
Will they have to shorten that now that one of them isn't a planet anymore?
I think Pluto got added on by someone else quite recently, but now has to be taken. I think someone else wrote Pluto.
How does that
the end
go?
Of it.
That has got me 2 points. And now, in addition to the planets, Mr. Richard Herring.
Arthur Smith, anything to speak about on the... 2 points.
Hey!
And that is that the Four Seasons?
No, that was his pacemaker.
Wagner. I've seen.
Oh no, he.
That's my favourite. My favourite. Wagner is my favourite for his work in.
For his Aryan Supremacy.
No. I liked him in Heart to Heart.
Well, I've been to see three out of the four of the Ring cycle, only because it's like part of my probation. Honestly, the last one I went to, you know, it was due to start at 6 and end at 11. And after it had been going for 3 hours, I looked at my watch and it was 6:15. The thing is, you have to get into a sort of Olympian state. You have to spend like a week preparing for Wagner. It's a long chew on a dry bone.
But you're voting for him,
I am. I'm also going to... We've all, basically, let's be honest, we all secretly want to say Rimsky-Korsakov, because it does sound, doesn't it, like rips his corset off. And so it's funny. And it's kept millions of schoolboys happy during long, dull lessons.
Mozart's good, I think, because he died young, but then he came back in the body of Falco, the Austrian.
Thing is, you could have Strauss. There's loads of Strausses, aren't there?
And there are a load of Bachs
as well.
There's
a load of Bachs.
Hey, yeah, how many Bachs are there?
There's... 2. Oh, that's a lot. There's only one Rimsky-Korsakov, as his fans always do shout. Well,
I had a friend who's very obsessed with the composer who was into the kind of that electronic kind of clashing sounds, the spatial placements of sound. I hated it, but he locked me in a room, made me listen to the entire works of that guy, and I did come out quite liking it. But a psychologist I talked to did say I was suffering from Stockhausen syndrome. Come on, that's a good joke.
I'd always wish that Simon Rattle was a composer, because I like saying his name.
Yeah, I like it. Simon Rattle. It's good, isn't it?
Chopin.
You have to say it like that, Chopin.
Yeah.
Kind of turn me on. You look good already. It's fine.
I think we'll probably wrap this topic up at this point. I'm going to have to ask you then, along the line, for your final top threes. Russell, what's your final top three?
The theme tune from The Goonies.
That's not a composer.
It is.
It might be John Williams. So put him.
Jan Tiersen and Mozart, because apparently he could play piano blindfolded when he was 5, whereas all I could do was the farty noise under my arms.
Arthur Smith, what have you got on your final?
Yeah, I've got Wagner, Rimsky-Korsakov, and Mussorgsky.
Okay, Richard Herring, your top three, please.
I'll go for Mozart / Falco. Stockhausen, so you have to keep the joke in from before. And Brahms and Liszt, who are one composer in that sense.
Okay. You've chalked up some good scores, but you can also score some bonus points if any of your answers are in Lucy Porter's envelope. So, Lucy, let us know, what are your top three classical composers?
Okay, here they go. Okay, I've got... the first one is Verdi. His Il Trovatore was the first opera I ever saw, which I didn't realise quite how politically incorrect it was at the time, because it's all about gypsies giving curses and people being burned as witches, so it's a very Daily Mail kind of opera. which is... Tchaikovsky, not the ballets, because ballet is for the kind of girls who have ponies who need a slap, but the later, the kind of miserable Tchaikovsky. And then my final choice, weirdly enough, is Stockhausen.
Sharp in taking breath.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's astonishing. I thought he was one of those three people that did all the Kylie Minogue records. Okay, Lucy, you score the total number of matches, so that's 1 point for you and 1 point for Richard Herring for Stockhausen. That means at the end of round one, in fourth place, Richard Herring, in third place, Lucy Porter, in second place, Russell Howard, but in the lead at this point, Arthur Smith. Okay, now for one of our quickfire rounds. This one's called Either Or, where we award points not for the answer, but for the reason behind it. Lucy Porter, you're first. So, Either Or, pretty or rich?
I think if you're rich, then you can buy your way to being pretty nowadays, can't you? Because you look at people like, and I don't mean to be mean, but say Jade Goody, she's a lovely girl, but she wasn't, you know, classically attractive. But then since she's become rich, she's lovely. She's got a perfume now and everything called which you do suspect smells slightly of bins, don't you? But I don't know.
Lucy, I'm going to give you 1 point for that.
Okay.
Arthur Smith, Either Or, The Three Musketeers or The 3 Degrees?
Rimsky-Korsakov. No, well, I mean, The 3 Degrees, you know, what they particularly were well known for was being Prince Charles's favourite band.
True.
Which must render them the least cool people in the 20th century. Whereas, look at your musketeers with their swivelling moustaches, they wear kind of curtains and speak in French, they're sexy as hell, the musketeers.
Yep.
Okay, I'll give you 1 point for the passion of that answer, which I like.
Passion. En garde!
Exactly, more passion, 1 more point. Richard Herring, public or private?
Well, it kind of depends what you're doing, doesn't it? It's about balance. I suppose if I have to choose one, if I had to do everything in public or everything in private, I think I would probably do everything in private, because there's some things you don't really want to do in public.
Though right,
I'm doing,
what are they then?
Well, I'm doing one of them underneath the desk right now. See if you can guess from my facial expression. If you're at home, see if you can guess from the sound the audience are making.
I'm looking away. Yeah.
Making a collage?
Richard, I'm going to take a point off what you've got already for just bringing bad images into our minds. Yeah? Finally, Russell Howard. Apple Macintosh or Raspberry Beret?
I haven't got an Apple Mac. I haven't got a beret. I don't wear hats. I look like, you know, I should be at the front of a queue at a theme park for a hat. You know?
What is a Raspberry Beret? I mean...
Well, it's lyrics from Prince's song, isn't it?
Yes.
If it was warm, she wouldn't wear much more.
But one of the lyrics I've got here is, the rain sounds so cool when it hits the barn roof and the horses wonder who you are. You know, I've never thought about that. Wonder what that badger thinks of me.
Amazingly, you've raised the tone very slightly from Richard Dancer, so I'll give you 2 points.
Thanks,
Russell
right.
Howard. We'll add those points onto our scoreboard and move on to our next top three. Richard Herring, you're sitting this one out, so please sit back as we hammer out the top three sporting events. So start us off, please, Lucy Porter.
Obviously, like all Londoners, I'm very excited about the Olympics in 2012. Isn't it the level of apathy? I loved it. I watched it, you know, when we won the Olympics and I was watching on the telly. What made everyone really deliriously happy was about 5 seconds later when they cut to Paris to show a load of miserable French people. It was like, eh. So I quite like the Ashes because I like the fact about cricket that it's like a sport that's been invented by mums. You know, you can wear a cardigan and, you know, you've got to go in and have your tea. There's something. It is quite civilised in a sort of British way, so I think the Ashes are a good... the World Cup, I didn't actually watch the World Cup, but I just... The problem is with watching England play, I just didn't want to be one of those, you know, the annoying girls in the pub who kind of ask all the, you know, the irritating questions, like, so, you know, is that one the serial philanderer or the one who punched his girlfriend in a nightclub? You know, that kind of... You know.
The best thing about the World Cup this year was the commentating of Mark Lawrenson, because the heat really got to him. I don't know if anyone listened to him. At one point, he actually said, I still can't figure out what this means, but Paulo Wanchope got the ball and he did a few tricks. And the co-commentator went, hey, you know, he could have also been a basketball player. He was offered a scholarship to play for a team in the NBA. To which Mark Lawrenson said, yeah, he'd be a great guy to invite around for a barbecue. Just, you have no idea what that means.
You know... I've got to give you some points for doing an impression. It's good old-fashioned variety entertainment. I'll give you 2 points for doing Mark Lawrenson.
The World Sauna Championships, which I know about this because there's a cafe in Bristol called The Spyglass, right? And they've got photos of the competitors, all these kind of like red men and women.
What is it, endurance? It's like you have to stay
in the
sauna.
Yeah, it just gets hot. They pour
and
water.
How long did they stay in the...
I don't know, I should have written that down. But the thing that's really cool about saunas is when you're in a sauna, it's really funny seeing people leave. Whenever you leave a sauna, you have to go, oh, a bit too hot for me. Every single person does it. But I was in a sauna in Croydon a little while ago, yeah. And there's a bloke, so he was magnificent. He was in a kind of really tight towel. And he said to me, I said, what, mate? You give me 5 minutes in a room with Tony Blair, I'll sort this country of ours out. And he was getting hot with
me. That
was
Gordon Brown.
Arthur, any sporting events you'd like to throw in?
I'm a big fan of the World's Strongest Man.
Yes.
I mean, that's entertainment, isn't it? And what I like is that you could be in that and the World Darts Championships as well. I mean, that is the most stupid event. Like, great big muscle-bound bald bloke with no brains lugging a boulder across the pier at King's Lynn. That's entertainment.
That is entertainment, yes.
But I'd also like to mention the World Heavyweight Boxing Championships. Okay. And there's one that calls... There's a number of World Heavyweight Boxing Champions. I mean, you just have to invent a category and you can be champion yourself. But one of them is Nikolai Valuev, the beast from the East. He is 7'2".
Wow.
And weighs 24 stone.
What does he do? Just turn
around? Well, yeah, he doesn't really need to do much, does he?
Not really, no.
Gets in the ring and everyone else turns around and runs away, I suppose.
Now, explain the weight system, because there's loads of lightweight, featherweight.
Well, featherweight is just if you're sort of like 2 or 3 grams.
Right.
Cruiserweight is if you weigh the same as a boat. And I don't have any more jokes like that.
That's very good. That is very good. I think it's time to wrap this round up now. Yeah. Please give me your final top three, starting with Russell.
Polilo and Flinchosa, two games I'm vending on holiday. Polilo is like polo, but it's on Lilos. And Flinchosa is when you throw a ball at your friend's face. And if he dodges, he loses a point.
It's not an event, though, Russell, is it?
Oh, it was. We had people watching. We had people watching. And the Ropley pram race, that was always a cracker.
I think you could get some points there. Arthur Smith?
I think I'll go to the Olympics, and particularly I like the synchronised swimming, because I always like the idea, like, if one of them drowned... The world's strongest man, and darts.
Any particular championship?
The darts championship.
That'll do. Lucy Porter.
Does crafts count?
Yeah, you can have that, Lucy.
And I'm not going to, because I've just seen Richard shake his head. So I think he's going straight down the line. I think he's going for the World Cup, because he's a man. I think he's going for the Ashes, because he's quite posh. And then I think possibly the badminton horse trials, because there's things about Richard that nobody knows that I do.
OK, then, Richard Herring, let's see if there are any additional points here. Open your envelope, please.
There aren't, obviously. I went for three sports that I can participate in. The London Marathon, which I have completed, 4 hours, 17 minutes and 50 seconds. Just getting inside the 4 hour, 18 minute barrier that all serious athletes are aiming for. Second, World Series of Poker. It is a sport! And three is the Scrabble World Championships, which is also a sport.
OK, no matches there, I'm afraid, so no points for matching up to Richard Herring or anybody else, which means that round two leaves us with, in fourth place, Richard Herring, in third place, Lucy Porter, second, Russell Howard, and still in the lead, Arthur Smith. OK, time for another quickfire round. This time it's simply the best, where we get the audience involved. So, guests, I'd like all four of you now to write down your favourite Beatle, please. And as the audience arrived today, we asked them who their favourite Beatle was, and our guests will score points if their favourite is the same as the overall audience favourite. So, Arthur Smith, your favourite Beatle, please?
Ringo Starr.
Yay! OK, Russell Howard, your favourite Beatle?
John Lennon.
John Lennon. Who would have approved? OK, Lucy Porter?
I've gone with Paul McCartney.
Paul McCartney. Yay! Big cheer for that. Richard Herring?
I was going to go for dung. But I've decided I need the point, so I'm going for the correct answer. John Lennon.
John Lennon. OK, let's have a look at the final results from the audience. We had a few here in the category of other, which included the likes of Stuart Sutcliffe, obviously Pete Best, Herbie. But nevertheless, 19% voted for Ringo.
Yay!
Really?
We quite like him. 20% voted for George Harrison.
Yay! Oh, great, that was fantastic.
He's my favourite. 20% voted for Paul, but that means, in first place, 34% John Lennon. That's 5 points for Richard Herring, 5 points for Russell Howard. No extra points for you two. Let's push straight on with our next top three. This time it's your top three real names of famous people. Russell Howard, you're sitting this one out, so what do you think? Arthur Smith, off you go.
Cliff Richard, as we know, he's called Harry Webb. And Harry Webb, I mean, that is such a great name. It sounds like he kind of played football for Arsenal in the 30s instead of being some sort of fey-haired old tennis player. Engelbert Humperdinck, I gather, amazingly, it's not his real name.
And what is his real name?
Actually, it's Jerry Dorsey, I think, isn't it?
Which is quite sensible.
Cary Grant had a really funny, silly name, didn't he?
He did, Archibald Leach.
Wasn't in Fish Called Wonder, isn't he called Archie Leach, John Cleese's character in that?
As a tribute to Cary Grant. That's very good.
Isn't John Wayne's John real Wayne. Name is Marion, isn't it?
Yeah.
He should have kept it. It's like a quiz now, isn't it? It's like a quiz. Elton John.
Reg Wright.
Yeah. 1 point, if we're going to do it this way. You can have a point.
Has anyone here got a different real name?
No.
You, and your name is not your real name.
Brian Smith.
It's a very imaginative change there.
Arthur, you have to have a point for being the only person here whose name is not their own. I think that's really impressive, so thank you for that. You can have a point for that.
Do you know, I met a bloke who used to change his name every 6 months as a form of conceptual art.
Right.
That's all it did.
You can do that if you're signing on. That's quite effective. OK, well, should we do a quiz to the audience? This was one that I found. Bernard William Dury. Anyone? I think someone's got
Alvin
it.
Stardust.
Alvin Stardust.
What about Eric Blair?
George
Orwell.
Yeah.
Very good.
They're hot, the audience.
They're good.
What about Paul Gadd? Oh, everyone knows
don't
that.
Don't mention him. Don't mention him.
Anyone know the real name of Yusuf Islam? No, that's not his real name. That was a name that he made up. He's called Stephen Dimitri Georgiou.
Mm. Mm. Meatloaf, is that's not his real name. It's Maltloaf, his real name. My favourite ones are from U2. Bono's real name is Paul David Hewson. And The Edge's real name is Dave Evans. This is a genuine story. A friend of mine was at a party with Dave Evans. And this girl said, oh, hello, who are you? He said, I'm The Edge. And she went, what? She went, I'm The Edge. Sorry, what? What? What's your... The Edge. What was... He said, it's Dave.
OK, let's get our final top threes, then. You can start, Richard Herring, your top three real names of famous people.
Paul David Hewson, Dave Howell Evans, and I will go... I've got so many to choose from. Giles Perry Richardson.
Who became...
The Big Bopper.
Very good. Arthur Smith?
Jerry Dorsey, Harry Webb, and Cary Grant, I think, because it's funny, his name.
Archie Leach. Yeah, that is funny. OK, Lucy Porter, your top three.
I'm going to go Morris Micklewhite and Annie Mae Bullock.
Morris Micklewhite is Michael Caine. Who's Annie Mae Bullock?
Annie Mae Bullock. Tina Turner. Everybody else, me.
Everybody else?
And I'm going to go as well for Michael Keaton. His real name is actually Michael Douglas.
Which he had to change. OK, let's see if there are any more points up for grabs. Russell Howard, let's see what's in your envelope. Top three real names of famous people, please.
Shirley Crabtree.
Big Daddy.
Big Daddy.
Wow.
Faris Lawrence.
Who is?
Alex Zane from TV's Pop Tour. He didn't think that would get out, but she's out. Anthony Ray, who is Mix-a-Lot.
The rapper.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So no matches with what was in Russell's envelope, which puts us at this point in the game. Fourth, Lucy Porter. Third, Richard Herring. Second, Arthur Smith. And first, Russell Howard. OK, time for our final quickfire round called Who Would Win? A series of hypothetical bouts of anything from American football to British bulldog. Again, it's points for reasons, not answers. So, Arthur Smith, who would win at Happy Families? The Mitchells or the Battersbys?
I met one of the actors who plays a Battersby once.
How did that go?
Bad. But the Mitchells, didn't one of them get slapped by his wife and sent home early to bed?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, real life.
Really, that's not very hard, is it? Whereas the ones called Battersby's, I mean, it even sounds like they're hard as nails, doesn't it? So I would have thought they'd take it.
I'll give you a nepotistic point for just showing off that you've met one of them. Okay, then, Lucy Porter, who would win at Space Invaders, Predator or Alf?
See, I think Predator, what with Predator being the enemy that you can't see, pretty much going to win any game that you play against him, apart from maybe charades.
I'll give you 3 points for logic there, I think. Very good. Richard Herring, who would win at drafts, Cilla Black or Jimmy White?
Jimmy White is a supreme tactician, and Cilla Black is a squawking old woman. So the correct answer is definitely Jimmy White.
Absolutely, you get 3 points. Well done. Finally, Russell Howard, who would win a joust? Lance Armstrong or Brooke Shields?
It's a grudge match. Armstrong survived brain and testicular cancer, but Shields has the most hypnotic eyebrows you've ever seen. And as they marched down to each other, you know, Armstrong would see them, momentarily glance towards them, and then Shields would do what cancer didn't and destroy him.
Russell, I'm going to give you 5 points.
Oh, thanks.
And we'll add those points to our scores and go straight into our final top three. OK, Arthur Smith, you're sitting this one out. The rest of you, we're after your top three things to come out of Sweden. Russell Howard, please do start us off.
Those hot dogs you get at IKEA are exquisite.
You have to make them yourself, though, don't you?
No.
I thought they were self-assembly.
Ah, nice.
I have to say that I think one of the best things about Sweden is their contribution to popular music. I'm thinking, of course, of Ace of Base, Roxette, but, of course, the most outstanding contribution that they made is... do-do-do-do, do-do-do-do-do.
Do-do-do-do-do. 2 points for getting the audience or some of them to sing The Final Countdown by Europe.
The Swedish chef from The Muppet Show.
What's he doing now? He hasn't worked for years.
The blonde one from ABBA.
Just her.
Well, I was talking about Benny, but yeah, fair, whatever.
Vikings?
Yeah, Vikings.
Yeah, Vikings came from Norway, didn't they?
No, they came from all over Scandinavia.
Yeah, but they used to knock them out of Sweden. They had a holiday home there.
But they didn't know it was Sweden, did they?
Yeah, but they used to call it that place where we got the volleyball net. We'll go there. Take off your helmets first, though, lads. Have you been to the Viking, the Jorvik Viking place?
Yeah, it's great. Best thing you can do if you go to the Jorvik Viking Museum is just say, oh, so what did they really wear the hats with the horns on? Because they go mental.
Oh, did they?
No, they did not. No, they did not wear those hats.
I bet they sell the hats in the gift shop, though,
don't they? They do.
I think I've got your favourite thing.
Go on, then.
Is it Jan Ove Voldner, the 5-times world table tennis champion?
Nope.
Bjorn Borg, who won Wimbledon.
Stefan Edberg. Gravelax.
No. Rovita. It's Rovita.
No. It's
Hans Blix.
No.
Celsius.
No. It's Winter Light, the 1962 Ingmar Bergman film, which is his bleakest. It's about a priest who is full of doubt over the existence of God, and he's got a cold. But I thought that was Bergman laying on a bit thick. But nevertheless, it's a great film. I think you should get it on DVD. Nobody got that.
Not Bjorn Borg.
Let's do our top threes then. I think we will start with Russell. Your top three things to come out of Sweden?
Vikings, Bjorn Borg, and Hans Blix.
Lucy Porter?
I'm going to go for the Saab, IKEA, and Roxette.
Richard Herring, your top three?
The blonde one from ABBA. Iron ore, which is the principal export of Sweden. And the chef off of The Muppet Show, who was Swedish.
OK, this could change everything. Arthur Smith, please open your envelope and let us know what are your top three things to come out of Sweden.
I've gone for Strindberg, obviously. No one mentioned him, I'm afraid. The dramatist. ABBA. So I think you've got to give Richard one and Ulrika Johnson. I was too lazy to write the sun. And I also just put it out, reserve Marina, the Swedish au pair I knew in the 70s.
So we had one match there with ABBA. That's 1 point to Richard Herring, 1 point to Arthur Smith. And we've added all of the other bonus points in. And that, I'm afraid, means at the end of today's show, our top three losers are Richard Herring, Lucy Porter and Arthur Smith. And in first place, Russell Howard. So that's all from us for today's show. A big thank you to all my guests. And remember, if God had meant us to fly, he would have given us less hand baggage. Goodbye.
Banter was presented by Andrew Collins and featured Russell Howard, Lucy Porter, Arthur Smith and me, Richard Herring. I was best. The show was devised by Tim Barber and the producer was Richard Grocock. Banter is an Avalon production for BBC Radio 4.